and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Boy, just time to exhale. Happy Father's Day to everyone celebrating Father's Day today. We gather in our Father's house. Our Father's house, which is a great place to be. Our Father's house where we are incorporating more technology, and sometimes it works, like the camera or the microphone or the organ. And sometimes it doesn't, but we can improvise. So we hear about our God. Technology may not always be faithful, but our God is faithful. That is the essence of the story. As we hear this morning, that we are baptized into God's greater story. Really, it's all of Romans chapter 6, but it's really even just a few verses from Romans chapter 6 today. Some of them you heard Pastor Luke read. Some of them I will share with you up here on the slides, assuming the slides work. But they will work. This, as we mentioned last week, and maybe some of you heard the week before, we are now beginning a sermon series that will last the entirety of the summer. Was today the first day of summer or the second day of summer? Whatever it is, all the way through about September 13th, where we're going to go through the book of Romans, but actually starting kind of in a strange place on the one hand, at Romans chapter 6. That's just how our lectionary readings line up. As we do this, a person who's kind of our guide on this, well, not the Holy Spirit is our guide, but Pastor Luke and I were blessed that one of our former seminary professors, the Reverend Dr. David Schmidt, has put together this sermon series. And there are a lot of images, so we're preaching our own sermon, but using kind of his images as a guide. So today, there's going to be an opening image and a closing image, and Lord willing, they'll all line up for you. So we'll go to the next slide. Imagine for a moment, and maybe, I'm guessing you have done this, have you ever caught your reflection in the window? Now, it might be hard to catch your reflection in this window over here unless you were standing up close to it. But in this case, you can see this woman, let's assume she's a mother, who catches her reflection in the window as she looks out, and let's use our imagination that she's looking out at her children and her husband, and they're playing in the yard on Father's Day, and it is a fantastic scene. And then she sees her own reflection in the window, and not only does she look through the window and see the joy there and the life, but also she sees that she fits into that story as well. So for a moment, regardless of where you are in life, well, literally at this moment you're here with us or you're listening online, take a moment and reflect. Think about how God has brought you to this place, to this moment. See, it's St. Paul who writes to Christians in Rome, Christians that he longed to visit, but he never got the opportunity to visit. And he gives to not only Christians in Rome 2,000 years ago, but he gives to Christians on the southeast side of Indianapolis today, on June 21st, 2020, a vision of God at work in the world. He gives, if only for a moment, a glimpse of a greater story. And St. Paul trusts that just as the church is the place where the Holy Spirit is at work, that the church is a place where we say faith comes by hearing, that when those Christians 2,000 years ago in Rome, that when we, these Christians here today on the southeast side of Indianapolis, when we hear the greater story, we see in our mind's eye, and maybe you see literally, if only for a moment, a glimpse, or we catch our reflection in the glass. What we ultimately ascribe to, what we believe, what we teach, what we confess, is that God's Word actually does something. That God's Word actually changes how we live. It reveals something eternal. It reveals the truth. It shows us something bigger than ourselves, and it makes us part of a bigger story. That there actually is history, that there actually is truth, objective truth. And the center of that is Jesus. The historical fact that we confess every Sunday, every Lord's Day, is that Christ is risen. We say that's not just a figment of the imagination or a nice idea, but that he physically rose from the dead, that is a historical reality. And so we look into this window we listen to the Word of God and we can see across the centuries, we can see across millennia, we trust that there is a God who holds on to us. And so this morning we come, we listen, we watch with the eyes of faith. But as I mentioned before, it may seem a little strange because we're beginning somewhat in the middle of St. Paul's letter to the Romans here in Romans chapter 6. We begin, though, where the faith journey begins, at baptism. And so we can say that eternal life for the Christian doesn't begin when you die a physical death, but eternal life for the Christian begins and has begun at your baptism, that you and I are baptized into Christ Jesus. And that in baptism, God brings us into the middle of an ongoing story. So if we can go to the next slide, which I know there's a blank one, and then there's another slide. And you can see the reading here, and this is a reading that it's the beginning of an earthly story, it's the end of an earthly journey for a Christian, but it's not the end of the story. You might recognize these words from the very beginning of a funeral service that the pastor says these words at the remembrance of baptism. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And so maybe it seems strange on the one hand to say, boy, we're starting in Romans chapter 6. But on the other hand, it's not so strange. Because sometimes that's the way God works in the world, that we're brought into the middle of the story or an ongoing conversation where God has the first word and God has the last word, but God is continuing to speak here to you and to me, and He speaks in and through us. But it's a story that doesn't start with us. The truth is we're brought into God's family. Let's go to Romans 6, verse 4. Let's read it together. If you're at home and you see this on the screen, read it there too. But let's read it together. We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Let's read the next verse too. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. See, this is what we do at a funeral. We confess that Jesus is at the center, that history, His story is central, that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life. Yes, even in the midst of death for you and me. That we've been brought into this family. This family where God the Father, and 2 weeks ago, Trinity Sunday, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit takes us to the Son, who takes us back to the Father. That God was there at the beginning. He created all things. We were not there at the beginning. We're not God. And that God made then the pinnacle of His creation, Adam and Eve, and He brought them, or He wrote them into the story, as the hymn last week said, with His living finger. And what God first did in giving life, He continues to do. And although Adam and Eve, through their sin, brought death into the world, God continued to work. And we just read it, we confessed it, that in and through Jesus, even though Adam and Eve brought sin and death and curse, God continues to work, and through His Son, Jesus, He brings life. He brings a new creation, a true story of redemption. In baptism, God brings people into His story. Let's go to the next slide. I think I know what it is. This is, and I've shared some of these paintings with you, and I'll give credit where credit is due. Copyright, Edward Rioas here, Lutheran artist. This is, if I remember correctly, this is in the hallway at a Lutheran church going to their music wing, where they have an institute to teach younger Lutheran Christians the faith through song, to lead others in that song. And this is a depiction of baptism. It actually has the words of the hymn, God's own child, I gladly say it. I am baptized into Christ. He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price. Baptism has the strength divine to make life immortal mine. And you look into that painting and maybe you see yourself in one way or another, but you see people of different ages, different ethnicities, different shapes and sizes. You see people who are dressed in, well, kind of 2020 garb. There's different haircuts in there and different styles. You see old and young, and then you see all these people clothed in white robes. Who are they? From where have they come? And you know who they are. Those saints who are with Christ, gathered around the throne of grace. See, this is a family. And somewhere, and I hope you see him, in that painting is Jesus. You see that through word and through sacrament, through Jesus, God brings and has brought us into a family. A family who is not just cursed, but a family who has hope and promise. Let's go to the next slide, which continues with this image. But you can see what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with Him. See, in baptism, we are joined to the death and the resurrection of Christ as we enter into this story in the middle. And by grace, and you see the image up there, that through Jesus, you have a place. You have a purpose. I think really important today to understand about having a place and having a purpose, a noble purpose, a good purpose, that this is not just meaningless and that you are part of a family. A family that may be dysfunctional at times, but a family that has a hope, a family that is reconciled, a family that is forgiven, a family that is united by true love, love that comes in and through Jesus. Let's go to the next slide here from Romans 6, verse 10. See, in baptism, we are dead to sin, St. Paul says, and alive to God. The death he died, that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Let's go to the next verse, 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. See, this is an eternal truth. Jesus is the truth. Sin brings death. As Lutheran Christians, I think we're very good at saying, yes, I know. I know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. And maybe we know really well, Dr. Schmidt would contend, we understand Romans chapter 7, also this tension that, well, I know there are good things that I'm supposed to do, but I don't do them. And I know there are those bad things that I'm not supposed to do, but I keep doing them. Look, we're just sinners. We're poor, miserable sinners. We don't contribute anything to our salvation. Woe is me. There's nothing else I can do. End of the story. Well, it is true that you and I are sinners. And without Jesus, marked for death. But you and I are not simply dead bags of bone. But we're alive. Alive in Christ Jesus. And if you peeled apart your Bibles between Romans 3 and Romans 7 here in Romans chapter 6 and look deep in, and St. Paul would say, look into the pool of your baptism. And you see Jesus, and you see your face, and you see a family. And here again, that you and I, we're dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. St. Paul early on starts out in Romans about talking about the depravity, the irrational nature of sin, about that we human beings, are born apart from God and we would drift away from God and do things that are just deplorable, but we would justify ourselves in them. And St. Paul, oh, he knows the power and the force of sin, that sin enslaves, that sin imprisons, that sin has dominion, some kind of power over us, and yet here again that Jesus has overcome sin and death and the power of the devil, that you and I have life in him. Let's go to the next slide. Here again from Romans 6, verse 4, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You have life in Jesus. And here I borrowed a page, another painting from Edward Rioas. You see the tomb. You see the three crosses that Jesus takes sin into himself to kill it. Sin goes to the cross to die, but that's not the end of the story, that Christ is risen, that he is triumphant, that he is alive. And so you and I are not simply dead, but in Christ alive. We have newness of life. And because of our baptism, and St. Paul goes on to say in Romans 6:13, let's go to the next one. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness, that you have a place, that you have a purpose, that you are a part of a family centered in Jesus. That God is using you and me in the world. We're called to be salt and light, members of the body of Christ. See, in our world right now, this is a truth. I think it's a truism that those who don't know history are bound to repeat it. Our world knows all about the effects of sin. Like, sin leads to things like bigotry and racism and inequality. Sin leads to things that are despicable and deplorable. The world knows that. The world would ask for people to apologize, but once they apologize, then would say, "That's good, but now you need to go away in the corner and be dead." There is no such thing as forgiveness or reconciliation. The world would say, "Look at your sin. That's bad. You'll never be more than that. You can never live. Go away." But Paul, he knows the depth of sin, takes us down a dark hallway, takes us to a place, and imagine being in a room where you hear water dripping and hitting a cold slab of stone. Drip, drip, drip. And Paul takes us then, though, that's not the end of the story, he takes us to the moment of our baptism where we're buried with Christ. But then in baptism, we're raised with Christ to be instruments of righteousness. Pastor Schmidt tells a story about a woman named Marie. Marie was in the winter of her life. She was tired. She was worn out. And then she found out that her body was ravaged with cancer. She was in a hospice center. Earlier that year, she had agreed and signed up with hopeful anticipation to be a prayer partner for a young junior high confirmand named Amy. And Amy, in finding out that her prayer partner Marie was sick, wanted to go and visit her in the hospice center. Amy's parents said, "Well, this is no place for a child. You don't want to go here. This is scary. You don't want to be confronted with this." And yet Amy went and talked to Marie. And in that conversation where Amy didn't know, well, what could she say to Marie, who was there closer and closer to death? So she simply reached out and held her hand, and then Marie talked. Marie talked about, in this place where it would seem that death was all around and imminent for her, about the hope that she had in Jesus. about how God had used her, had used people in her life, about how her hope was in Jesus, about how Jesus had brought her from death to life, and yes, soon her heart would beat its last beat, but because of Jesus, she knows that this is not the end of the story, and would tell young Amy the truth that we, the church, confess that Christ is risen, and that when He returns, the dead will be raised with bodies that are imperishable. The mortal will put on immortality. And Amy got to see how God uses us. She used her older sister in Christ, a grandmother in the faith, that we present all of ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our skills, our members, our talents as instruments for righteousness. And here's this beautiful mystery of being part of God's larger story, amazed at what God can and will do, even and especially in the face of suffering, and how He uses our lives and the lives of the saints in proclaiming His kingdom work. Well, there's one final image that I want to share with you. This, and Pastor Luke, I'm sure you recognize this. This is the processional cross at the chapel at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. It's a different piece of church furniture. This cross, well, it's pretty straightforward to see, but you've got to look closely because this is made of glass or plexiglass or something. It's transparent, and in one way you can see right through it, but it's usually next to the pulpit in the chapel there. But when you look closely, you see that red stain of blood, and you see the cruciform picture of Jesus hanging there. In this case, it's a white pyramid hanging from there, proclaiming Christ in a festival celebration. Jesus here in this cross is both hidden on the one hand, but revealed on the other, revealed when the word is proclaimed from the pulpit. But when this cross is taken away from the pulpit and used in a processional, the surface of this cross is reflective. Now, the processional starts at the back of the chapel, and then this is the case in some worship spaces. At the back of the chapel, the seminary in St. Louis is a baptismal font, and it's taken back to the baptismal font where the story begins for you and me and as Christians. Where we're joined to Christ in the waters of baptism. Imagine it begins its procession on these festival days like Call Day, where we were there just over a year ago with Pastor Luke. And as the cross moves down the aisle, as the congregation stands, it begins to reflect images back. Images of people standing, heads lifted high, lift high the cross. Images of seeing not only yourself in the cross, but seeing those other brothers and sisters in Christ, mouths open in song, proclaiming Jesus. You see yourself, you see the world in and through Jesus. In baptism, God the Father has joined you and me to the death and resurrection of His Son. Your life and mine is part of God's story. And so as you and I stand before the world, as we recess again this week out of this place, we do so with Jesus, with joy, with courage, privileged and blessed to say that we're dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. As we present ourselves to God and our neighbor as instruments for righteousness. To Christ be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.